on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Time On with Sam McClure.
For sites and stores, we create custom-built websites for small business.
Well, the day is almost over, but the sports news never stops. This show is your opportunity to have the final say. We'll bring you the big interviews and all the news as it breaks. You bring us your opinion. It's news and it's views. It's Time On and it starts now. Nine minutes past six. Good evening. Hello and welcome to Time On. Do we have a big episode one coming up for you? Simon Lethlane to join us at the top of the show. Nathan Jones, the co-captain of the Melbourne Footy Club. Neil Cordy on Kurt Tippett. What about the big news on Kurt Tippett retiring at the age of 30? Still has three more years left on his contract. It's a big news at the Sydney Swans. And Neil Cordy is going to give us the latest. And Glenn Maxwell recalled to the T20 side for Australia in the squad announcement today, but does not get a recall in the Test squad. There's so much news to get to. But as I mentioned, our first guest, well, he's been spoken about a lot in the last 12 months. He was the man who brought us AFLW. He's going to bring us AFLX. But a lot of us, as we know, he left the AFL in pretty public circumstances at the end of last year. He's now the head of football at the St Kilda Footy Club. I speak, of course, of Simon Lethlane, and he's been good enough to join us as the very first guest here on Time On. Simon, welcome.
G'day, Sam. How are you going?
Very well. Simon, obviously going to get to the Saints and all the excitement there. Paddy McCartan, the big news, re-signing, which is fantastic for the footy club. But we want to clear the air on a few things first, if we can. And sure. I want to start with the AFL. I'm not going to go back through the specifics because I'm sure that's been done to death in the last few months and you don't need to hear any more of it. And we all know a lot about it. But there are some questions that did get left unanswered. And one of them is, was it your decision ultimately, Simon, to walk away from your job at the AFL, or were you kindly asked or reminded it would be better if you did?
No, look, Sam, it was obviously a really distressing and remorseful time for me, and yep. I think in the end I had a number of conversations with the leadership at the AFL, and we all agreed that, you know, based on my actions, it was appropriate for me to leave the AFL. I couldn't execute my role and my job in leading football nationally based on the situation, and you know, I remain extremely remorseful for those actions, and I'm fully accountable and take responsibility for them, and that's I'm quite at ease with it, that was the fact, and that was what was needed at the time, and I own that decision and I own my actions, and I'm remorseful for it, but I've got to move on now, and I'm, you know, extremely excited by the opportunity to be back in the industry.
When was it, what was the timeline as far as when it was made public inside the AFL, Simon? I mean, what kind of time frame are we looking at when people started to find out in senior parts of the AFL to when it was ultimately decided that you should stand down?
Oh, that all happened pretty quickly. But I'd been honest with those that I needed to be internally for what was a pretty public, and in the end, for me, it was a very private issue, but it became very public, and I was honest internally and then made decisions pretty quickly about what was appropriate.
Do you think if you'd been in another industry, Simon, and not one that is looked on as publicly as the AFL, that it would have been a different set of circumstances?
Oh, look, I don't think it matters, Sam. I was in the role I was in. I'm real about that and understand that. And I own the responsibility and the accountability for that. It doesn't really matter about other industries. I had a public football role. I knew that. And I made some poor decisions, and I moved on because of that. And I feel it's very appropriate that I did.
All right, we'll move on as well, Simon. I want to talk about the Carlton job, because it was late last year, and you know how these footy circles work, that everyone who knew someone at Carlton was saying that you had been given the job as their chief executive officer shortly after, you know, Stephen Trigg was sacked in controversial circumstances. How close did you get to the job?
Yeah, look, Sam, I understand there's been a public discussion on that topic, but yeah, I'm general manager of football at St Kilda Football Club now, and I'm not going to discuss management roles and processes at other clubs, you know, other than to say that I actually know Kane Liddell, who is the CEO of Carlton, really yep. well, and I know he's well regarded as a standout operator, and I'm sure he will be a very good CEO at Carlton, and I wish him well, except for when they're playing against us.
Fair enough as well. Look, I understand that it's difficult for you to talk about, but we did say we'd clear the air before the St Kilda stuff. I have it on very good authority, Simon, that you were given the job at Carlton as their CEO by Mark Legudashay, the president, in person, face-to-face, and it was only a number of days later that, for whatever reason, that job was taken away from you. Is that correct or incorrect?
And again, Sam, I just don't believe it's appropriate to discuss what I believe to be confidential discussions and processes. It's not fair, it's not appropriate, and it's not the way I want to be known. I'm now St Kilda Football Club's junior manager of footy. Kane Liddell is a very good up-and-coming CEO at Carlton, and hopefully we both go very well in our new roles.
Yeah, well, you landed a very good role, Simon, and Carlton's loss is clearly St Kilda's gain. Talk us through the Saints. Your first impressions, they're a club that's been talked about the last couple of years, is very much on the up with a strong list, and I guess the talk now is that they need to start delivering on the field.
Yeah, if it's been 2 weeks, I've been here, Sam. I'm now down at the training camp down in Geelong, and look, it's great to be back in a club environment. You can feel the hunger of a playing group that's ready to really contend, and I've been really impressed with the players and the leaders and the coaches. I think Richmond showed everyone last year that you can turn around performance by seeking to improve across all parts of the club, and St Kilda are really buoyed by that, and I think the hunger is evident, the work rate's evident, and there's some up-and-coming talent here that are, I think, really finding their feet, and it's an exciting time to be at the Saints, and I'm rapt to be here and rapt to have been given the opportunity by Matt Finnis and the board and Alan Richardson, who's been really impressive. So it's a great time to be at a club in pre-season because everyone's excited and buoyed and looking forward to what's ahead.
So what's the number one priority in your role at the Saints? What do you have to do first?
Look, I've seen some pretty good general managers of football in the AFL in my time, and I reckon there's a few keys to doing a good job, and one of those is to really invest yourself in making the club and the people around you better and imparting, what you know about football and the industry, and also absorbing as much pressure as you can so that others can get along with doing their jobs. I'm keen to help all parts of the St Kilda organisation through Matt Finnis as executive and in particular football, and that spreads across listener recruitment and player welfare and wellbeing and the coaching group, as well as the leadership program that they're investing in now. So there's lots to do, but I'm hoping I can make an impact and just make those around me improve and likewise improve myself through a great culture and great environment.
Paddy McCartan re-signing for a couple of years. He's only played 22 games in his three seasons for the club so far. How long down the line were those conversations when you arrived at the club?
Yeah, they were pretty close around Christmas. Tony Elshaw and Matt Finnis had worked closely with Paddy's management and his family. And, he comes from a great family. They're actually down here in Geelong where we are at the moment. And there's a real excitement around Paddy. He's a great young man. I've got to know him quickly in the first few weeks I've been here. He's a up-and-coming real talent for this club. And I think it's a great sign for the club to show some faith in a young, talented kid that wants to achieve a lot and to put as much support around him so that he can be successful. And if we can, I think the club will receive, bear a lot of fruit from what he can bring. He's got a real swagger about the way he goes about a confident approach to footy, and I think he can be a really key part of this club. And I'm rapt the club's shown some faith in him.
So we can only take from the fact that you've chosen to re-sign him that the club is very confident that his concussion issues are behind him?
Oh, I don't think anyone's concussion issues are behind them. It's a reality of professional sport. But one of the things that's been extremely impressive about St Kilda is their medical staff and high-performance staff, and they've got a great level of support around Paddy. They will monitor and support him in all aspects of his playing and on and off-field welfare, just like they will all players. But, Paddy's a confident kid, and he's not going to let the possibilities of injury get in his way. He's been training hard. He's in the best shape he's been in, I think, as far as I'm told, all his career thus far. And all the signals are positive. So that's the way he's addressing his footy, and those issues will be dealt with as they arise, not seeking to hunt them down until they occur.
So what's a pass mark for the Saints, Simon, this year?
I don't know if you can label pass marks, Sam, apart from to say that every club needs to improve to make inroads in the AFL competition.
But I guess the fans, Simon, would, everyone wants to play finals, I know that, but it's been a long time between drinks for the Saints, and, last year was talked about as potentially the year you didn't get there. The improvement would suggest that it would, have to be September footy.
Yeah, look, they've been thereabouts the last few years and fallen a couple of wins short each time. So get off to a good start, work hard, look to get as many wins in the bank early and see where we get to. But this is a confident young group, a really confident group of coaches, and they're looking to really contend and go as deep as they can, and so they should.
Just want to move on to something away from the Saints for the second, Simon. AFLX, you know, you were almost at the helm of the entire process when it was getting started, and I remember you talking, you know, very, very positively about it. Are you excited about it? How do you think it's going to be received ultimately when the games start?
Yeah, I love it, Sam. I reckon it's going to be a fantastic new way to expose people to our game. And I know the playing group here at St Kilda are excited about 17th of Feb at Etihad Stadium in one of the pools of six Victorian teams. So we'll put our fittest and best players out there and hope our fans get along to support it too. We're looking to really activate Etihad in the precinct, you know, in partnership with the AFL. I reckon it's great to try new things. You know, if we didn't try new things like the Big Bash in cricket or Friday night footy 20 or 30 years ago, we wouldn't progress the sport. And this is a great way to showcase the talent in a new way. And who knows, I reckon it's great to embrace it, and St Kilda Footy Club certainly will be.
So just to back over that quickly, you said that the Saints will be playing their best team available, because I assume that a lot of clubs will go into AFLX thinking, well, the last thing we need is to get someone injured.
Yeah, look, these days, you know, there's one less preseason game than last year, and the high-performance team really do dictate which players have done enough of the work, or, you know, in footy terms these days, have done the right amount of load. So all those players that have reached that threshold, you know, in accordance with their plans for the pre-season, they'll certainly be available for selection. And that's the way we'll approach it. So there'll be certainly be some of what our public will know as our best 22 that won't be ready just yet. But those that are, let me tell you, they're keen to play and have a workout that way rather than, you know, doing an extra on-field running session as part of training. So the guys are excited about putting their hands up to play.
Well, there you go, Saints fans. Tune in to AFLX, because the chances are you're going to have a very, very strong outfit playing in it. Hey, Simon, we appreciate your time on. Just as we let you go, just to finish up and encapsulate everything that we've talked about, and now that you know you've started your new role at the Saints, given everything that's happened over the last few months, how do you think your headspace is now, and, you know, ultimately, I guess, how has it changed over the last 8 to 12 weeks?
Yeah, look, it's been a you know, an interesting 6 months for me, Sam. I've learned a lot. You know, the ongoing discussion about my situation, you know, doesn't impact me. It impacts my wife and family, and they didn't do anything to deserve that. So it's been distressing for them, and it's time to move on for me and my family now, and we're doing that. I'm going to work hard and look forward to being judged on performance and hard work again, which I'm really comfortable in digging in and doing, and I want to bring as much impact and effort to the St Kilda Footy Club, who've shown faith in me and my family and support, and I want to repay them. I'm going to work hard to do so.
Yeah, well said, and I'm sure all Saints fans are excited to have you on board. Simon, we appreciate your time. Good luck with everything for the Saints in 2018 and beyond.
Thanks, Sam. Good luck to the show, mate.
Thanks, Simon. Simon Lefland there, the head of footy at St Kilda, of course, former head of footy at the AFL. Great news for Demons fans today. The club announcing a 3-year sponsorship deal with insurance giant Zurich as a co-principal partner. You'll see them on the front of the D's jumper in 2018. And one man who'll be leading from the front, the co-captain and a very good friend of this station, is Nathan Jones. Hello, Jonesy.
Sam, how are you, mate?
Very, very well. Jonesy, great news for the club today. You've had a big couple of years in improvement on and off the field, and this is just another example of that with Zurich jumping on board.
Yeah, no doubt. Obviously, a company of that calibre to be associated with that. Obviously, our great footy club, I think it's a huge, you know, brick in the wall for the club and feather in the cap for all the behind-the-scenes work that was done by the club to secure such a significant sponsorship, and the club's over the moon and very grateful for, you know, the contribution that Zurich's going to make over the next 3 years. So it's exciting step forward and a great way to kick off 2018.
Yeah, it certainly is. And you use that word exciting. I think a lot of Demons fans, Jonesy, are excited about the prospect of 2018. And I know that every single one of the 18 clubs always says at this time of the year that they are flying pre-season-wise. But we can't hear enough positive stuff coming out of Demon Land and that of Christian Petrarca as well, who by all reports is having the best pre-season.
Yeah, I think, mate, obviously, you know, it was pretty widely scrutinised how our season finished last year. Yep. And obviously we were really disappointed internally, but I think if we looked at it, you know, with a little bit more perspective. I think it was a positive step forward last year, albeit some pretty significant learning curves, and obviously none bigger than, you know, how the season ended. But in saying that, I think that's, you know, really lit a fire under the feet of most players that experienced that. And the one that you did mention in Christian is obviously taken huge steps forward this pre-season, and as have a handful of other players who have, you know, really taken hold and taken responsibility of their own sort of preparation and journey, and that's only going to make us better. I think as a club, we mentioned last year that we're still looking for growth and improvement from those guys that, you know, we're still gaining experience, and Christian's one of them, but, you know, even Clayton Oliver, Alex Neil-Bullen, you know, these kind of guys that have experienced the footy system for a few years now have really taken that step, particularly with their performances over the pre-season period. So we're optimistic, mate, as everyone else is.
Hey, Jonesy, you mentioned the end of last year and the disappointment. I'm not going to go back to that because I know you guys have been asked about that at length over the last 3 months. I actually want to concentrate on the future. Do you still think you're going to lead the Melbourne Footy Club this year? Is it still something that you want to do as co-captain or captain?
Yeah, mate, I aspire to continue to lead from the front, obviously, with Jack, and I think that partnership worked terrifically well last year. We had some great success, and obviously, you know, for me to be able to help him with his leadership and vice versa, really, it's good to learn from, you know, these younger guys, how they sort of see things, and, you know, Jack and I have very similar views, you know, we're obviously both on the same page in terms of where we want the Melbourne Footy Club to get to. So, you know, I saw that working well last year. And as far as I know, mate, having spoken with Goody and Jack multiple times, that's the structure we'll be going with going forward.
Yeah, that's good news. Melbourne continuing with co-captains Jack Viney and Nathan Jones. Jonesy, I only ask because you were, you know, pretty open, as you always are, last year about the fact that you and a few other senior players were a bit surprised that, you know, Jack at age 23 was being promoted as co-captain. But just backing over your comments there, you obviously feel like he was maybe a lot more ready than a lot of people thought at such a young age to lead a group.
Oh, mate, he's got amazing attributes. He's sort of, you know, one of those ones that's out of the box, really. You know, a young player that comes in, obviously of his talent, firstly, but also his leadership qualities and maturity at such a young age. I think a lot of people, you know, outside the club in particular, are sceptical about, you know, how it unfolded with, you know, Jack Trengove and Jack Grimes, and how they were heaped with pressure at such a young age. So I think that's probably what, you know, I guess instigated some of that discussion. But Jack's in a different position. Our footy club's in a completely different position to then. And, you know, he took it on as we knew he would, you know. You know, all guns blazing straight into it. And I think the opportunities he had during the year, even particularly when I was injured, I was just so impressed at the leadership he showed on field. And, you know, he's obviously a very courageous and inspiring player with how he plays the game. So he was more than ready, mate. There's no doubt about that.
So you think, Jones, in 1 or 2 or 3 years, however many years it is, that you may be past the baton down, that, you know, Jack will be ready to lead as captain without a co-captain?
There's no doubt he's capable, mate. But in the end, I think that is going to have to be something that you know, Goody will have to discuss. It might be a question that you may have to pose to him, mate. I know, you know, having spoken to him about the situation that Jack and I found ourselves in, he's a big fan of the co-captaincy setup, and whether or not that continues, I'm not too sure, mate. That's obviously something that he is a big fan of at this point in time, and whether or not we continue, it'll be or remains to be seen. But I think the main part of it was about growing leadership and you know, increasing the responsibility across the team rather than just singularly on players. And I think we've done that. And one that's really comes to mind that stood up this pre-season is Maxi Gawn. He's taken his leadership to a whole new level, and again, he's showing some terrific attributes. And you know, he's been a real contributor in that space, particularly this pre-season.
We mentioned Jack Viney's age. He's 23. Happy birthday for Saturday, Jonesy. You celebrated the big 3-0, the 30th. What happened? Any sort of special gifts on the weekend?
Yeah, it was pretty quiet, to be honest, mate. Not like a 21st party, but no, I actually had a nice dinner with my wife just in Brighton, and then caught up with a few friends after that and just had a few beers and, you know, celebrated. But you know, I have to pull stumps these days quite early, mate. I can't last, particularly when the kids are up at 6:30. So, it was a good time. My wife spoiled me with 30 bottles of wine for 30 years old. So
nice.
With a great selection in there. So, I'm looking forward to drinking those over the next 30 years, hopefully.
Yeah, Jerry's done very well there. Just as we let you go, Jonesy, 30, and you talked about you have to call stumps early for a night's out, but you won't have to do that on your career. I mean, the statistics would say, given how resilient you've been and how consistent you've been with your body, blokes playing to 35, 36, 37, you still feel like, you know, you've got a lot to give in the next five, six, maybe even longer years in the game?
I want to play forever, Sammy, to be honest. So I'm not going to put a ceiling on that, really. I think I take great inspiration not only from players that have played our sport, but even other sports internationally. For instance, Kelly Slater, Tom Brady, Roger Federer, just to name a few. But these kind of guys, it's quite inspiring seeing them performing at such an elite level at how old they are. So for me, I don't really want to put a cap on that. I just want to keep learning and improving and continuing to find ways to, you know, make sure that I can perform at my absolute best. And hopefully that takes me on for as long as I can go. But at this point, mate, I'm willing to play for as long as I can.
Yeah, well, Tom Brady, age 40, had a pretty special day today. So that means you've got at least a decade left. Hey, Jonesy, you're such a good friend of this station. We appreciate your time and good luck to the Demons in 2018.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Nathan Jones there, co-captain of the Melbourne Footy Club. And as he just told you, he's going to continue as co-captain, by all reports, with Jack Viney in 2018. The Ds want to thank Zurich CEO Tim Bailey for the support shown. Zurich are insurance company that cover everything personal and global.
Never an easy decision to make. Last season was a difficult one, which I hurt my ankle. It's had a bit of everything to finish off on, and still recovering from an ankle reconstruction. So I've got fond memories of my time in the game, and I'm so grateful to have spent a fair bit of that time here at the Sydney Swans. A fantastic place, a special place, and full of great people.
16 minutes to 7 here, time on SEN. That is the voice of Kurt Tippett. They say that footy news never stops in this town, and that is yet another example. In Sydney today, Kurt Tippett announcing his retirement at the age of 30, 178 games for Sydney and, of course, the Adelaide Crows as well. Signed until the end of 2020. That is going to be the big talking point from it. And joining us on the line, Neil Cordy, Daily Telegraph Chief AFL writer, and also read all of his work at superfooty.com.au. Hello, Cords.
G'day, Sam. Yeah, gee, big day in January. Very interesting. As you say, the 3 years left on the contract will be the big issue, because if and just how much of the cap space will be vacant now with Tippett out of there. Because I had a quick scout through the who's out of contract at the Swans, and essentially they've got all their guns locked away for at least 2 to 3 years. Mills and Heaney are both locked away till 22-23. Hanbury, Parker, Kennedy are all sort of 3 or 4 years away. Florent, Reed, Papley, and Jones are already locked away. So if they've got some cap space, you'd think they'll be a significant player in trade period.
And this is the big story out of it, Cord. And for those that don't, and a lot of us, you know, that work in the industry don't necessarily understand the ins and outs when it comes to TPP. But what it is Kurt Tippett is on, let's just call it $600,000 to $700,000 a year for the next 3 years. Now, they can come to an agreement between the management and the club as to how much they want to pay him out. But whatever that figure is, they have got to find a way in their salary cap to pay it out. So, I mean, Cords, they are known as a club, and Tom Harley is known as an administrator that does unbelievable things when it comes to keeping players at their club. I know they lost Tom Mitchell, but they, you know, they kept Hanbury from North Melbourne and Richmond. They've kept a number of stars. This is a significant blow to them and their future with contracts.
Yeah, well, it's going to be, but fortunately for them, they've got most of them locked away. The only ones that are out at the end of 2018 Jake Lloyd and Aaliyah. And Lloyd's been you know, really, he was runner-up at the best of fairest. He's been amazing. So his value was, you know, going to go sky high. But Alir is still very much an unknown quantity and at the crossroads. He only played three games last year after having what looked like a really great debut season. But he's still, there's still some question marks on whether he's going to actually make the grade. But, yeah, they may or may not. That'll be the interesting thing to come out of this, just what cap space they do actually have left after that deal.
How do you think he's going to be seen or remembered by Swans fans, Cords? Because he came over on big money. He's played some great games for the Swans, but I think you know the knocks on him would be that he never consistently put it together for more than a year or two.
Yeah, look, he's clearly been probably their most maligned player.
Yep.
You know, in the 5 years he's had, and that just comes with the territory, I guess. When you come over on a big contract, and it was controversial circumstance. Remember, he copped an 11-week ban because of salary cap infringements. Also, Adelaide lost their first two draft picks for two years. And so it was those sorts of circumstances that he came over in. And he's just been blighted by injury and never really. We saw, funnily enough, actually, at the start of 2016, he was probably in All-Australian ruck form. He was absolutely flying. He was kicking goals. He'd really found a spot for himself in the ruck. And that's when the Swans actually extended the contract again to 2020 on the back of that form. But then he got himself hurt again. And one thing I will say about him, like the knock that he didn't play hurt is right off the mark, because even just going back to last year, he injured his ankle in round two in the grand final rematch against the Dogs, and it looked like it was going to be season ending then. But he found a way, and he fought through, and he just wasn't 100%. But he also played in the grand final in 2016 with a fractured jaw, which he'd picked up early in the final series. He also played with a broken hand in the famous Adam Goods match, where he sat out and had a week off, and he got up in it. He was expected to miss a month with the broken hand, had surgery, and came back a week later to play in that game. So he actually has been pretty selfless, because the outside perception is that it's Kurt Tippett first and team second, and if you talk to his teammates and the coaches at the Swans, they'll tell you it's a different story, as it often is from the inside.
Yeah, well summarised, Cords. We appreciate it. We've got to run to a break, unfortunately, but looking forward to reading the latest from that on this story, the Daily Telegraph.
Good on you, Sam.
Thanks, Cords, the chief AFL writer of the Daily Telegraph.
It's been a huge first episode of Time On here at SEN, and the stars keep rolling through, quite literally. One of the Melbourne stars, Glenn Maxwell, of course, an international star, Victorian star, and he's been good enough to join us on the line. Hello, Maxie.
How are you going?
Very, very well. Probably not as good as you, because you've been given a recall to the Aussie T20 side to face England and New Zealand in the Tri Series next month. It must be great to be back in the squad.
Yeah, it's good to be back. It's probably not the recall I was probably looking for. I was hoping to obviously be in that test side and continue my test ambitions, but it's a good recall nonetheless.
What's the second question that I was going to ask you, Maxie? You've obviously got and still got test ambitions, and you've been doing everything you can, including, I might add, making bucket loads of runs in the red ball game to try to get yourself back into it. Were you given an indication by the selectors as to why you weren't included in the 15-man squad?
No, I don't think they probably need to. I think they've picked their squad, and I think hats off to them. They've picked a pretty aggressive squad with only one spare batter and got plenty of replacement bowlers. So that's the way they're going. And I'm sort of glad that Pete Hanscom has had that trust instilled in him as that backup batter. Because I thought he was obviously a little bit hard for him to obviously miss out and watch the last couple of tests. But For him to be included as the other batter is really good for him, and looking forward to hopefully him getting a chance at some stage.
Yeah, no arguments there. I thought he was very stiff to miss out with only three, you know, poor innings after an amazing series in Pete Hanscombe. But Maxie, what about yourself? I mean, you haven't really had the chance to do any more with the red ball since December. Your form in every other aspect that you've been playing has been nothing short of outstanding. So you're sort of scratching your head as to what else you can do?
No, not really. I think it's got to be over a longer period of time, and you've only got to look at the guys that they've been picking, and they've been picking on form over a long period of time. So I don't think half a summer is going to do the job for it. I think I've got to make sure I finish off this summer the way I started, and I think that's going to come through good shield performances and hopefully a lot more consistency with both bat and ball, and hopefully I'm able to get those opportunities with the ball now that obviously John Holland's going to be over in South Africa. There's going to be some spin bowling options available, so hopefully I can fill in a couple of those overs.
And Maxie, was that the sort of stuff that was communicated to you when you caught up with Steve Smith not so long ago?
What we said, I'm probably going to keep between me and him, but it's been the general message, I suppose, over the last couple of years that I've had, the conversations I've had with selectors, and it's just about being consistent and making sure that everything I'm doing on the field and off the field is consistent, which will hopefully bring that consistent performance, if you like me saying consistent that many times. But that's a general message.
We'll get a consistent counter out. Hey, Maxie, just on the Stars, I mean, I know a lot's been made of their trials and tribulations in this Big Bash season. Where do you see the future for them? You've been, as I said before, in great form for them, but they just can't get some solid form going this year.
Yeah, it's been a pretty poor year. I think Hasto's probably spoken about at length at being our skipper. It's been disappointing, obviously, coming into this tournament. We had a lot of high hopes after being, obviously, in semi-finals for the last 6 years and never been able to quite get that next step of winning the tournament. So we thought that this year could have been our year, and to probably put out the numbers that we have this year has been extremely disappointing. And to put your finger on, I suppose, that we may be playing a brand of T20 cricket that's probably a little bit in the past, and unfortunately it's taken us to this year to sort of probably work that out, and hopefully next year we can move on and start again, and hopefully start to build that brand that we desperately want to build.
What is the new brand of T20 cricket, Maxie?
Well, I think it's just understanding that it's not always the batters that are going to win your T20 games. I think the modern day way is that you stack your team with bowlers and hope to scratch over the line, because the bowler's job to make the batters making runs difficult is such a much more valuable asset to your team. I think
yep.
If you look at the strikers team with Rashid, Ben Lachlan, Billy Stanlake, Nessa, Peter Siddle playing his role, obviously a different role, but they had guys that were T20 specialists that could genuinely hold down a batter. And as a batsman looking to target the opposition, you sort of narrow it down to who you can actually take on and confidently take on. And they just did it really well. They've got a balanced bowling lineup. Obviously, you're going to lose some guys come to the back end of the tournament. But T20 teams should be built around your bowlers.
Yeah, absolutely. And fascinating insight as well into the old T20 style and what should be the new T20 style. Hey, Maxie, appreciate your time as always. As we let you go on time on, I think the question that everyone's dying to know the answer to in the last 4 days, did you meet Will Smith? And if so, what did you say to him?
No, I was probably quarantined a little bit from Will Smith the other day.
KP wouldn't let anyone else near him.
Oh, tell me about it. He was all over it. He's best buds, hey, best buds. Me and Will, yeah, we're Will, best buds.
I think out of everything we've just learned in this interview is that Glenn Maxwell does a fascinating impersonation of Kevin Peterson. Hey, Maxie, we appreciate your time. You're always so good to us here at SEN to jump on the phone. Well done on the T20 recall, and let's hope the next time the test squad comes out that it has got your name in it.
Thanks very much, mate. Appreciate it.